Well, good morning out there on this beautiful, beautiful July 11, 2024. What a day the Lord has made. This is a day that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because my God is a God of the impossible. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever trial, whatever situation, He is more than enough, my friend. Praying for you, declaring God's goodness over you, declaring God's victory over your life. And we are believing together for God to do amazing things in each of our situations and our lives and our children and our families. Amen. It's good to be with you guys on this Thursday morning. Brother Greg, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Brother Aaron.
Hallelujah. You brought the cowboy hat back out, I see.
Well, I got me one for the summer. It ain't near as hot.
I like that. It's got a little breathing room in there and a little white, and man.
Yeah, I'm kind of fancy.
Yeah. I learned a word the other day. Walmart.
What'd you learn?
Well, there was a lady talking to Dalton, and she said the word bougie, which means fancy, they said. I hope it means fancy.
It does.
If it means something else, I apologize.
Just in case, I'm just never going to use that word.
It doesn't just mean fancy, though. It doesn't just mean fancy.
It sounds like extra fancy to me.
Yeah, it's like...
We are extra.
I wouldn't even use fancy, because when I think of fancy, I think of like classy.
Uh-huh.
And with bougie, it's just like... always have to have the newest, most trendy thing.
We call that keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
But bougie is a lot smaller.
And then it is going to be expensive things, because now a lot of trendy things are more expensive. So expensive, trendy things.
All right.
Yeah,
that's my children.
Well.
I just got to learn that you... What did they used to tell us, Greg? You can't eat steak on a bologna budget?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what my grandpa used to say.
Yeah.
Said, son, you can't eat steak on a baloney budget. So
makes sense. Makes sense.
I have to tell my kids that. Yep. Can't be bougie on a what kind of budget can we do here? Can't be bougie on a
dollar store.
A pastor
budget.
Kid's budget.
On a
You just work on that.
I'm gonna work on that all morning.
I'll hit up the
Thoris here in a minute, and we'll be.
But my favorite
good
part was when they were talking about the story, because Dalton was actually over yesterday, and he said then, she asked how old that you all thought that she looked, and Pastor Aaron said, "Oh, I don't do that," and he just walks away.
Is that a smart move, Greg?
It sounds like it to me.
Because she was showing like how she does makeup and stuff, mm-hmm. I guess. She was showing like pictures of her makeup.
Yeah. It was
which
definitely
I think
interesting
this whole
conversation.
Thing is kind of weird. Like, I probably wouldn't do that at the cash register. But anyway, well, my favorite part about the whole story is when Pastor Aaron says, "I don't do that," and just walks away.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I was like, honestly, guys, you probably should have followed him as he walked away.
Yeah, well, Dalton seemed like he needed rescued a little bit, so that's what we were trying to do.
That's funny.
But it is good to be with you guys. It's going to be a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's going to start getting a little hot this weekend again. Heat indexes are going to rise again. I did see some videos yesterday and pictures of areas that were hit pretty hard with the tornadoes from Tuesday, and we're praying for those areas and God to restore quickly. And there was quite a bit of damage done, so we're still praying for those areas and recovering and getting everything situated with insurance, and everybody's all right. So
you know, it was something to watch. So the alarm, everything's going off in Litchfield, and I can hear it. I live in Holly. I don't know if anybody knows where that's at, but it's north of Litchfield, almost Evely,
mm-hmm.
on 259. But so I heard the sirens, and you know, of course, everybody got the alarm on their phone about the tornado warning. So what do? I grab my son, and me and him go outside and look at it. You know, because
mm-hmm.
that's the smart thing to do, right?
Yeah, well, that's the Kentucky thing.
But no, I was sitting there watching it, and I've never seen, like, I've seen tornadoes. I was in the one that hit Leggett and Platt. I was actually there working that day. And but anyway, I was watching the sky, and just this massive black, you know, bunch of clouds. They're dark gray And as they, you know, it looked like they started to turn, you know, just kind of slow. You know, I never did see no funnel clouds. We was looking, and then it started downpouring, and we run in the house. But I was sitting there, and I was watching it, and I was watching it all go, and I was just looking, thinking about just the wonder of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This his mighty power. You know what I'm saying? Just how like we can't even scratch the surface, you know, of how powerful our Father is, you know. And I was watching it, and we was sitting there, and we was pointing out all the things we see, and it was pretty neat to watch, you know. And I was telling Gavin, I said, now you think about this, you know, imagine the guys on the boat and this wind in the middle of it, and Lord to step out and say, peace be still, and all this just vanish. You know, just everything just calms, and the waters, you know. And, you know, after this, you know, I got to admit, a little bit inside of me, there was a little bit, you know, just kind of not really nervousness, but like, well, if this does form, what am I going to do? I'm like, I don't know, you know. But after I was telling him that story, I just, I didn't worry about it no more. And then, of course, like I said, it started raining. And we went in because it started pouring hard, but it wasn't a few minutes later the sun was shining again, you know. And I just wonder if the Lord didn't just move that, because it really looked like it was going to, you know.
Sure.
I mean, I didn't ask for him to move anything, or I was just in awe of him, you know. And I just feel like he just, I feel like he moved it around me. I don't know. It's probably just me, but that's what I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of those things of Dalton was mowing a little spot, and he said, well, I might as well finish this little spot before I go in. And he said, he's sitting there mowing, and the other family next door is running into a tornado shelter.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, like, you could see things in just about anything, because, you know, even in that, like, there's one family that's staying in the shelter and one's not, and you could just get going to all these things. And I know the Lord uses mysterious things to speak to us and show us things and reveal things to us. So
I just, like I said, I thought it was neat to watch the, you know, and just how it all was moving around up there, you know. It's just, I've probably seen that before, just never paid no attention to it, but, you know, it was, his power is so awesome, you know. And
Well, we do have a couple of announcements. If your kiddos want to go over to VBS over at Kingdom First there in Caneyville, Kentucky, they have two more nights. And my kids went again last night, and they thoroughly enjoy it. And then our VBS is right around the corner, the 23rd.
When's ours, Hannah?
It's yours. You should know, Brother Greg.
Hey, it's scuba. It's scuba.
I had to go to Facebook to find.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's, I don't know. I have no idea what it is.
Then I know Liberation Church has got one. It's a one day, and July 20th, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think theirs is a one day VBS on a Saturday. And okay. So.
Oh, 17th through 19th.
There you go.
It's right around the corner, Greg. You got your scuba gear ready?
So,
your job? You got your job yet?
No, I don't. I don't have a job. I'm not. You know, like I said, if they need me, you know, like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel to pull me in there. I'm just saying.
No,
but I, if they need, you know, I would jump in there if they needed me. But we have so many people in there that volunteer and that participate and. Man, they really work hard, and, you know, my wife, she's putting stuff together and making all kinds of, I don't know, just, what's it called, the stuff that sits around you look at?
Decorations?
Yeah.
It's a profound word, Greg.
Yeah, it is, very. But this, not just
that's
any,
not
like, but, like, over the top kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she's, like, making scenery. That's what I was trying to say.
Scenery.
Yeah, scenery.
Now there we're moving up in the forest.
Yeah,
the synonyms are really growing.
It was more than just decoration. These are, you know, scenery. It looks like you're going to be walking through a coral reef, you know, with the stuff she's made with these pool noodles and I don't know what else.
Yeah,
her and the kids, and they've been working on it and stuff, and then, you know, different ones. And, yeah, a lot of people put in a lot of hard work, in these VBSs, you know, not just ours, I'm sure everybody does, you know, and it's all for the Lord, you know, and man, if you get people in there and some VBSs, you know, people show up to bring their kids to a good time. They've never heard about the Lord before. You know, it may be somebody's first time they hear about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard for us to imagine because we hear about, you know, but I don't, there's several testimonies, you know, that people, you know, they come to the Lord at a VBS. And adults, you know, adults taking their kids to VBS, you know, for whatever, and they come to the Lord, you know, because of a VBS is where the seed was planted. So, you know, these are good things to do.
Yeah. Also, if you want to pre-register for our VBS, I know this, I got to get this information out there. You can go to our app and there's a link there, or you can go to our social media and you can pre-register there and get your kids there. And I think you can sign up and you can tell us if they have food allergies. You can tell us all these kind of things in advance. And now you can register them at the door too. They don't have to be pre-registered.
Yeah.
You can register them at the door too. But we have a pretty strict safety protocol of how we do things. And so they have to be registered either pre or at the event.
5:30.
Because, yeah, we don't just send our kids out to the parking lot and say, go home. You know, it's like everything's pretty... Yeah. We have a lot of precautionary measures in, as most churches do, because we don't want to put a kid in their own car or give them peanuts if they can't have peanuts. Try to be careful on all that kind of stuff the best we possibly can. So, but we're excited for this year's VBS, and I know your all's is going to be amazing, Greg, and I know Caneyville's been amazing, and I'm so anticipating ours as well, and I just like how they're kind of falling in place with each other. And, and so it's really cool.
So that one's the 23rd through the 27th.
Yes, starts on a Tuesday night. We got first night, let's see here. Try to think of our food.
I know there's nachos,
those
pizza.
Those nachos are good.
See, those aren't mine.
Pizza.
Says it right there, nachos. So I don't get
nachos?
Those.
Yeah. Yes. And then we've got the 11 o'clock hour. I've been DJing. It's kind of been fun a little bit. You listen to any 11 o'clock hour yet, Greg?
I've missed it. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm DJing music for right now until God raises up a DJ.
Okay.
Because I don't know how good of a DJ I am.
Well, I have to start listening. Here lately, I've been in areas where, you know, about that time I'm out of the range or whatever. And normally, you know, that was Brother Bob Martin's, right?
It was.
And I sent you a text message. I didn't know you was DJing.
I'm DJing.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. I was just thinking until you found somebody, you know, that Sword and Shield program that Brother Ron put on.
Kind of play those on 12 o'clock, so we're kind of in and out. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's sermon, sometimes it's Oath, Sword, and Shield, because we only have so many of those. So,
yeah, I got you.
But we've been playing some...
Because a lot of those are on
tape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe all of them.
But we've been playing some music. I'm enjoying picking the music. And
are you over there like going...
No, but I am going like... I'm interjecting between songs and talking about it and bringing stuff in and bringing stuff out. And
well, all right, so...
You got to get that DJ
voice
going on.
DJ Hour with Brother Aaron
at
11. Okay. All right.
We don't know if we have a title yet, but...
So DJ
God's gonna
So we got... what is it with Brother Ron? That's the...
Salt Covenant Hour.
Salt Covenant Hour. So we're going to DJ Hour with Brother Aaron.
See, I don't think it's long term. God's going to raise somebody up. All right. God's going to raise somebody up. But right now, you get in there with that DJ voice. Yeah. Now for this 11 o'clock hour on the Box 2 Radio. No, I'm just kidding. But it is fun. And we are gradually working on our music selection and bringing some newer stuff in and trying to weed out some of the older stuff a little bit. Not saying the older stuff's bad, but you can only listen to one song so many times.
Yeah.
And so we're trying our hardest to get all that situated. And
that's a big task to redo all. You know what I'm saying? Put all that music in there.
Especially when you have such a small staff already.
Yeah.
Like, because we run off of...
Like four people, five people?
Well, technically, we run off of three people.
Three people?
Yeah.
I got you.
Man. So, and
it's like a skeleton crew.
Yeah. And and honestly, Hannah don't know how to do the software yet. So she can do some editing on, like, when do, like, the rerun.
Yeah.
But she don't know how to do the Doretta, our automated system yet. So it's really
two.
That's
only two that can do that.
Yeah. So it's a little bit tricky. She's going to learn one of these days in Jesus' name. I'm going to teach her. She's willing. I just haven't been able to.
I got you.
But it is. It's really fun. So if you have time on 11 o'clock hour, join us. There's been a lot of people like it. And if you ever request a song, Greg, you ever want a song played, you just tell me. You got to. Now, here's what I tell people. If you request a song, I don't have this massive library yet.
Yeah.
We're building it, but we don't have it yet. So give me two or three, four, give me a song or two to get that song in there. But usually I can get it in there pretty quick if somebody has a request.
All right.
And so it's fun. It's fun. But man, it's like Josh Milburn the other day, what was his statement? I'm going to read his text to me during that hour. I'm going there. How do you expect me to get work done with all this good music you're playing and the Holy Ghost fits I'm having? So
there you go. Man, I remember wiring and working like that and just right in the middle, you know, I'll be whatever it is I'm doing. Like I you know, I'll be wiring a house and there'll be other people there, but I'll be listening to that or whatever, the Lord to speak to me, and I'll just break down right there. You know, the Lord just move on you.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling, man.
That's
I know
a good
exactly
one.
What he's talking about. That's a good feeling, you know, right there, unashamed, you know, sitting there, you know, at the workplace, and you're just in front of everybody. You can't control it. You're just bawling because of what the Lord's speaking to you, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 3, verse 3 is where we read it yesterday, but that's where I want to start, and then we'll move on. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. And again, James is just reiterating just how important and how big the tongue is, even though it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you've ever had a bonfire or you're setting something on fire, it's really like, you ever got to the point, Greg, where you think it's just like it's out, but there's a little ember. And then you look back out there and go, well, that thing's back on fire.
Yep.
Well, it's because this little ember can set a big fire again.
Yep.
Or it's like this. You're out, like, you hear these stories in, like, California and stuff specifically, like, where somebody's camping and they get a campfire and they don't put it out correctly. And then before you know it, a whole forest is on fire because that one little ember sparked that. And that's the same way with our tongue. We can set a forest on fire if we don't know how to watch our tongue and how to control it, because that really big ship, like we're going on a ship. Greg just got on a ship not too long ago. And the boat you all are on, it's a pretty big boat.
Yeah.
And
we don't have to go back here.
You don't want to? You don't have to? Well, you should have. Well, I'm not going to call out names, but you should have gave a different.
Yeah.
Different company a try.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
All right. But that whole boat you were on, it's a massive boat and is driven. If we saw the rudder, we would be shocked how small it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that little rudder controls that whole boat, just like our little tongue can set a whole forest on fire. Because so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. A world of unrighteousness, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting the fire, the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell.
Hmm.
And can I read 7 and 8, then y'all can say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and can be tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison.
Yep.
Man.
You know, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So why we need to die to ourselves, you know, and allow Christ to rule in us, because he is the one who tames that mm-hmm. that small member that does such damage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we can say things, just saying words, saying things that we think is going to be helpful to somebody actually hurts them because we the way that we said them, you know. It's just, yeah. And coming from my past, you know, this is talking about me for, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I didn't care what this thing said at one time, you know, or who it said it to or how it come out, but the Lord has since, you know, done a big work, you know, in me. And now I find the things that this thing says is more uplifting and encouraging. And, you know, now I'm still not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I feel that he has made a big change in me to where those things doesn't come out anymore. You know, it's not that I've practiced not doing this or that. I don't have any credit. You all hear me say this all the time. You know, I was this way and now I'm this way, and it's only because of him. It's not because of something I've practiced or I've watched or I've done this. It's because I've surrendered to him. Mm-hmm. And through trials and tribulation, he has brought me through. It's made me stronger, and it's just burned that stuff out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like you talk about surrender because it's our job and our responsibility to surrender
yeah.
and submit ourselves to Christ. But then it tells us here that, just like you said, we don't get the credit for our transformation. No man can tame the tongue.
Yeah.
No man can just start talking
yeah.
Encouraging and pure all of a sudden. It takes the Holy Spirit and it takes the Lord. So I like that.
Yeah.
And our responsibility is to take every thought captive in subjection to Jesus Christ, which is basically saying this: let the word of God form in you, take it submission. Let yeah. the word of God be your guide. Because what James is saying here is not saying we're hopeless, is that we'll never control the tongue, so don't worry about it. No, it takes the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to do it. Like he's yeah. saying, no human being can. So just within ourself, we'll never be able to control it. But I do believe by the Holy Spirit yep. in us. Like I was testifying the other day, like before I got born again, my mouth was horrific. Like, you know, in high school and stuff like that, yep. you know, a lot of us probably did have some bad mouths. But I remember I got born again, and I remember it was like a couple of weeks after I got born again, I said a word. And it was like this knife went to my stomach, and it twisted, and it was like it tasted bad. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it happened to me too one time. Go ahead. But yeah. I'll tell you.
But it was like a word that I used to say all the time, and then I got mad one day, and I had said it about a week or two after I got born again, and it tasted bad. And I'm yeah. like, I think that's how sin should to be to us as believers.
Yeah,
it should taste bad. And not just what I thought. I mean, but like sin should taste bad. It should hurt us. We should be disgusted about it. We should hate what God hates and love what God loves, and that's done by the Holy Spirit. And this ain't a bragging thing, because I mean, very well it could slip out, but like, it's not like filthy language is not something I struggle with now.
Yeah.
But there's other aspects of my tongue that I still do, and that's still got to come into submission of the Holy Spirit. And
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel hopeless in it. I feel hope-filled because I believe the one in me will start to renew my heart. And the more my heart is renewed, the more my mouth will be renewed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that happened to me. I don't guess it was several years later, actually, after I was born again. And I never had, you know, that was one thing. It was like immediately thing he changed my, you know, my the way I talk, my language and stuff. That was like one of the, you know, when you're born again, the big things just fall off, and then it began to work on the little things, the deep things that we didn't even know about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was sitting there at a in the fellowship hall at a get together talking to a couple of men, and just in conversation, didn't cross my mind, it just one of those words come out. And I was just like, I stopped. I was like, what? Because I mean, that just completely just blindsided me that it was one of the small words, you know, but it come out and man, it just floored me right there, you know, and I repented right then. Like, I mean, it broke me down right there in front in that conversation with all those men that we was having, you know. I mean, I think the Lord allows us to experience those things to open our eyes to, you know, just, I believe it's part of the refining process, you know, when things like that take place. It's just Him just refining us and purifying us.
I remember for me, you know, I talked about the other day, like, I never had a problem with curse words, but I did not know how to control my emotions as a teenager. Yeah. I mean, my emotions were just all over the place as a teenager and really young adult until I really started to let the Holy Spirit help me.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't happen all the time. It would usually come out to family, close family, or like mostly just close family. But yeah. I remember times when I would just, I was so hurt or so mad and I would just burst out something. And I would, as soon as it would happen, and I felt it bubbling up, I felt the anger bubbling up, and then I would just say it. And I know that it was just sinful because it would make me feel so, I mean, in the moment it felt good because I'm like, I'm winning right now. I'm getting in the last word. But then after I went and I just sat in my room and just the Holy Spirit would convict me on it. I mean, it did. It felt like that. It felt bitter and nasty. And I just remember feeling like I was never going to be able to overcome that. Like I was never going to be able to. But the truth was, in myself, I would never be able to overcome it. I would never be able to get better. But the Holy Spirit, we just have to submit our words and our tongue to Him, and He'll help us with that.
Yeah.
So,
and I think this is like one of the things James is saying. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison.
Yep.
Like, if we don't submit our tongue to the Holy Spirit, it is like that thing that's, and I've been there, like you're frustrated, your heart's frustrated, you're upset with somebody and you're trying not to say anything, and then sooner or later it just kind of busts out.
Yeah.
Because you never really fully submitted to the Holy Spirit. You were just trying to control it yourself.
Yep.
And I think that's what James is saying. You can't do that. Like, there's not the ability in you to do it solo. No human being can do it, but it takes the Father to renew. And I think that's why we should be quick to pray, and that's why we should be always constant in prayer, because we have to be giving this stuff to the Lord. Like, when somebody is out there lying on you and coming against you and saying awful things, like, our natural fleshly instinct and reaction is to go back at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Best never the Holy Spirit's way. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, His way is to bless, and His way is to pray, and His way is to bless and not curse, as we're going to see. Like, you know, it's, but that's not done by human beings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's done by the Holy Spirit in us. Because I don't know about you, but I really do struggle with bless those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. And I really do struggle with loving your enemies.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, we want to do it ourselves and we'll get it for ourselves, you know, when somebody does us wrong. Of course, you know, I'm sure I'm not speaking for just myself. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, you know, if somebody does something that, you know, you want to, the first instinct is just to, you know, take care of that situation.
Yeah.
Whatever that may look like or however that does. But that's not, you know, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that the Lord's worked on me too. You know, He is the strong man of my house. You know, not me. He is the strong man. You know, what's that song? I once thought of a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Mm-hmm. You know, because once I thought I was some mighty big man. You know, I've never been a big guy, but in my mind, I was a pretty good fella, pretty good sized fella in my mind. You know, but anyways, I was an idiot, but whatever. You know, when you get to that, this is that peace and that rest, you know, it's, you know, and I'm still same as everybody. I'm a work in progress, so I don't want to sit here and act like I've got everything figured out. I don't, but just from my experience, you know, I'm experiencing more of that rest. It says, enter into my rest by ceasing from your works.
Yeah.
You know, the when something comes up, you know, now I'm quick to take it to the Lord now instead of quick to handle it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was about to say was it's not that we don't ever trip up, because honestly, there's an instance a little bit of just like last week that I did and I had to apologize to somebody. But I notice now that I'm not quick to lash out with my tongue as much because of the Holy Spirit. It's more slow. Mm-hmm. Like it's more of a slow to anger than a immediately explode. And that's God. That's not me. Mm-hmm. So,
well, John tells us that the Holy Spirit is, Jesus said that, you know, I'm going to send you a helper. In the Greek, that's paraclete. Yeah. And, you know, it's like he is helping us and he's going to help us. And this is the beautiful thing. Like salvation is not our second chance for us to get it right.
Yeah.
Salvation, being born again, is being made. There's a room in the Father that's ours.
Yeah.
And we're going to live and dwell in him. And when we live and dwell in him, he lives and dwells in us. And he's going to help us. And he's going to grow us. And he's going to mature us. And he's going to muse us and mold us and shape us and endue us with power and change us. Like, it's not a chance. It's not a second chance for us to get the law right.
Yeah.
It's never, it's not even about a second chance. We're a new creature and we found our abode in him.
You know, and I'm just reminded of the story of Jacob sending his servant to find Isaac a wife, a bride. So he loads his servant down with all these gifts and all everything she's going to need to get her back to the son, right? Well, you know, that's the type of shadow of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that servant is a representation of the Holy Spirit. He goes out for the bride, which is us, and he brings all these gifts and all the stuff, the tools, the help that you're talking about, all the help to get us back to his son, Jesus Christ, you know what I'm saying?
To be formed and, into his likeness.
And so this servant, the Holy Spirit, tells us all about the Son, which is Jesus, you know, and he reveals Jesus to us that where when we return, we're just going to know it's him when we see it the way, was it Rebecca? Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. With the way she saw him, but, you know, they didn't know each other, but the servant had done such a job describing Isaac that whenever, you know, she got to the same field, she knew it was him and run to him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's us. We've never seen Jesus with our eyes, but whenever we're face to face, we're going to know him.
That's right.
You know, we're going to know, we're going to run to him in that same manner, you know, of that story. And that was like a type of shadow of our process home to the Son for that bride, that's the wedding banquet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to go to break. Read our first trivia question of the day, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man who was attacked was going from Jerusalem to what city? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man who was attacked was going from Jerusalem to what city? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio 1, the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood, July 11, 2024. And what a day the Lord has made. Brother Gary Cox got that answer correct in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man who was attacked was going from Jerusalem to what city? Jericho, Luke 10. 30.
Did you announce that I got the question right yesterday?
I don't think so, but Greg Carwile got the answer right yesterday.
I thought, man, I guess I missed it.
Did I announce? I think I did. Actually.
I don't think you did.
I didn't hear it.
I thought I remember. Y'all was in a good discussion yesterday.
Well, I thought I remember saying Deuteronomy.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, who was appointed leader of the children of Israel at the death of Moses? Greg Carwile got that correct yesterday.
Yeah.
Joshua, Deuteronomy 34, verse 9.
I think that's the first
time I've heard you call it Deuteronomy and not Deuteronomo.
Josh Milbert said I did say it.
Okay. All right.
Hoorah!
I believe
Josh.
Josh
says it, then it's true.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Josh? Yeah. Anna's finally learned.
Yeah.
She's finally learned. I heard it. He said I heard it.
All right. Good deal. I just missed it. Then yesterday, I was like, I guess I was out doing whatever. I don't know.
In all honesty, like, I feel like Josh is such an observant, thorough person. Like, I feel like he really would be the one not to miss it.
Yeah. Gary Cox said I said it too.
There you go. That's two.
Two or three coming to agree.
That's it. That's it.
It's over.
It's over. That's
me, Gary, and Josh is in agreement.
I think announced. The reason I was believing that you didn't was because Brother Denny didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Because he was listening, but he might have stopped listening or something. Because he was wondering. He's like, who got that second one?
Yeah. Now, Brother Denny is going to be on with us tomorrow. And Brother Gerald is not going to. He said that he's just got too much going on at the moment. No. So, Brother Rick is going to be in there now. So, Brother Rick and Denny will be in every other
Rick
Friday.
And Denny. I feel like that could be something.
That could be almost a show. Like,
that
Rick
could
and
be
Denny.
Something.
Don't do it.
Do you need Denny and Rick or Rick and Denny?
Yeah.
Rick and Denny.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see that. All right, Hannah, you ready for your Kingdom Corner? Yeah. Josh said the other day that you missed one, so you owe a double one day. I say that, you know, Hannah's like me. We pretty much double up everything. So you give us 5 minutes, we're going 10. You give us 20, we're going to go 40. That's how we roll.
Well, my name does mean double portions. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's just prophetic. I'm just fulfilling.
Now,
name.
I will say, like, I'm like that whenever you give me something about the Bible to do.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, sometimes I feel so sorry for Ethan because he's just on church after Sunday morning or something. You could tell he's hungry and he's just standing there looking around. And I'm said, waiting on Hannah again. Yeah. I don't even know where she's at. She's talking somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Eventually, I just say, hey, will y'all turn off the lights? I'm leaving.
Oh, it's so hard to.
Good fellowship. You know, it's good fellowship. That's what it is.
It's just hard to be like, hi, bye, bye. Like, I don't know. It's just not in me.
Yeah.
But, okay. Sure. I'm in.
You'll get hungry enough one day, it will be.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Let's see. So, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and... Actually, I don't want to read that version. I'm going to change it. Sorry about it. I don't know why I put that version. So, Romans chapter 1. Sorry about the dead air. I don't know how Aaron just keeps talking as he's doing the searching for things. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verses 14... through 17. Okay. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This has always been one of my favorite verses, verse 16, because I just, the Lord reminds me of this a lot, that as a child of God, as a child in the kingdom, that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel, ever. The gospel is our lifeline. The gospel is what has transformed us. Christ is everything. Just as Greg was actually talking about that as we walked in, as we were about to start the broadcast this morning. And, so I just think that this verse is so important, but also for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So without the gospel and without the blood, without Christ, we have no power. There's no power outside of him. What does John 15 say? That we must abide in him. He must abide in us. He is the true vine. We are the branches off of him. There is no other way. And I just think that, yes, we know these things, but in the kingdom, talking about a kingdom corner, I try to pick things that are essentials, and I mean this whole Bible is for the kingdom, but just things that stick out and highlight to being a child of God, being a child in the kingdom, and And it is. He is the power. It is the power through God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I'm also very thankful that we were grafted in. I mean, the Lord, we are all grafted in, anyone who believes. The Jews weren't very happy about that, and a lot of them probably still aren't happy about that, because they are God's chosen, but he included us all into this, and I'm forever thankful for that, because it's just to know that the Lord, he had his mind on me, on someone who was way far off, I mean way afar off, on people who were not considered the perfect people or the chosen people. But we see just the beauty of how it all came together. And then, for it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so I just think that this scripture really sums up a lot of the foundations of our life in Christ, because it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the righteousness of God can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit and through faith. We have to believe in this walk that we're walking. We can't just say that we're a part of the kingdom, or we're a part of, we can say that we're a part of it, but not actually believe it. But then we have to deal with, I believe it's Matthew 7. It might not be Matthew 7, but a verse in Matthew that talks about, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. There was never a knowing there. But here it's talking about the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So from our first faith, the faith the size of a mustard seed that we receive when we believe and we receive Christ, and then from faith to faith, to the faith that we grow in, the faith that we continuously are conformed into the image of the Son, growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. So I just love this verse, and I wanted to talk about it because it's good news. It's a great verse to remember and declare over our life, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is everything to me. It is the power. It is my justification. The just shall live by faith is the last part of that. And so we are justified not because of anything we've done, but because of everything that he's done. And because of that, we are able to grow in faith. We are able to not just grow, but live by faith, which is something we never could have done before, and something that other people around us need. They need to have people in their life that are living by faith, because that is a stable person, a person who's not unstable in all their ways, not double-minded, not always wondering what's right, what do I believe, what even in the news, you know, even in the things that go on in the world, nothing is for certain, nothing is stable. There's always the reason why there's so much anxiety and worry and confusion is because when the Lord isn't the foundation, when when we're not living by faith in him, there's no way to truly be stable. There's no way to truly have that peace and have a source of confidence in your life. So just a great verse. And that's the Kingdom Corner today.
Amen. He is everything.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, we have a couple of Bible questions. Oh, hold on. Let me get caught up here. Lisa said the Rick and Denny DJ hour. Hey, yeah. Brother Denny chimed in himself, and he said, Brother Ron did used to call me Bubba. So
I think that's taken.
That's already taken?
Yeah.
We could change Rick's name to Ricky.
Oh my God.
Ricky and Denny. Yeah, that could work. All right. I don't know if Rick's listening this morning. He's like, hey, I like my name. Don't change it. All right. All right. Let's see here. We got a Bible question or two still in our list that we have not got to. And if you have a Bible question, We love to try to answer it for you, or with you. Not that we know everything, but we'll definitely give it our best shot. Luke's, we've already answered that one. When will Joel 2:28 through 29 occur? So going over to Joel 2:28 through 29.
What page is that on?
That is on page 3,463.
This is him pouring out his spirit on all flesh, right?
Yeah, it's the large print, so it's in the Bible. Oh. It's in the book. It's in the later book. Joel 28:28-29. You there, Hannah? You're fast.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and read it if you're there.
Okay. 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Yep.
Was now, it 28 and 29?
Yeah, no, I do think you have to read 31 and 30, but we'll get to those. And I think here that Joel's prophecy has been fulfilled. And it is being fulfilled, because I believe that even in Acts chapter 2, it discussed this. Like, you know, it's talking about how this is the unraveling. This is a fulfillment that he is pouring out his spirit on all flesh, and that the Holy Spirit is now being poured out on us. Because in the Old Testament, you saw where the Holy Spirit came upon people, but you did not see where the Holy Spirit indwelled people. And in the New Testament, you are seeing that. And it wasn't even like a common thing. It was rarity for like Elijah and Elisha. For Saul, he was anointed and the Spirit of God came upon him for kingship whenever he was anointed, for an empowerment to do the job. And like the Holy Spirit was there to empower them for specific assignments. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's there to help us, to live in us, to dwell in us, to make his abode in us. So
they started at verse 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
So verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and old men dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. So, you know, it says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. So this is when you're coming to the revelation of who Christ is,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our walk today. You know, of course, they're talking to Israelites here. But I believe that this is a representation of when you are revealed, when Jesus is revealed to you. This is whenever it says, and then you go to verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So Jesus says, if I be lifted above the heaven and earth, I'll draw all men unto me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so when he draws you and he reveals yourself and you accept him, whenever he becomes in the midst of you, you know, in the middle of Israel, they're turning to him. He is their center. Well, then mm-hmm. all these things after that, shall pour out my spirit. So that's, you know, a lot of times I think we interpret this as he's pouring out his spirit among all flesh in the last days. You know, it says in the last days I'll pour out my spirit among all flesh is the way people mostly say that. But it, right here, if you take it into verse 27 and then on down, it's when you receive me, I'm going to pour my spirit out among you. And it, you know, and
in the King James, does it say the last days?
No,
in
I just read it.
In the New King James, it says those days.
In Acts chapter 2, it does say, in the end days, God declares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it basically, he's not adding in the end days. He's saying, in mm-hmm. the end days, God declares yeah. that Joel 2 is coming to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
but I do agree that, like, this has already came to pass because... And it did come to pass in the early church, after Jesus, because
at the day of Pentecost
it says, and it shall come to, in verse 32, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and so that happened because of what Jesus did.
And Peter, James, and John, they all believed they was in their last days.
Yeah,
then so
I do think some of the wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fires, they shall turn to darkness and the moon, because that great and awesome day of the Lord comes.
What verse is that?
That is 30 and 31, but it's okay. Also in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
And so I think that the pouring out of his spirit on sons and daughters is happening. I still think there's signs in the heavens and signs in the earth.
And I agree.
The great and awesome day of the Lord comes.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's like this dualistic part of this that
there's
some that has been fulfilled and there's some being fulfilled because we are living in the end times.
And I want you to think about this too, add to what you're saying, because I don't want to take away, because I believe what you're saying, I agree too. But in addition to that, you know, like you said, this is the only whatever date today is. You're not going to get it back, you know? So this is the last, what is today? The 11th. Hey, tomorrow's my anniversary. Oh, man. Make sure I remember that.
You better be going to the store.
This is the last July 11th, 2024, we're ever going to have. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we die tomorrow, it's going to be that day that we meet the Lord. You know, or if we die today. You see what I'm saying with that? So not only is it talking about the end times, but it's talking about your specific end time. You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, it says, you know. So we need to be ready today, as if he's returning today, because, like I said, I may wrap my truck around a tree and never make it home today. I don't know that. I don't plan on that. I'm sure not looking forward to that. You know, it's not, but who knows, you know. So I kind of bring that to today as well, you know, as our daily walk with him as well. Not only does it mean what you're saying, you know, at the end when Jesus returns, but, I mean, we could be face-to-face with him in an instant.
Yeah.
Be also ready, for the time is thinketh not, the Son of Man cometh.
But I do, and I do agree that, like, his spirit has been poured out.
Yeah.
Enough, and it is, his spirit is continuing to be poured out.
How else would we be growing?
Yeah, and so and I do think there's significance behind your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, even the male and the female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. That's basically saying no one's exempt. He's gonna pour out his spirit,
all men among,
which is significantly different, because up until Pentecost, like, we're talking those that were priests,
yeah,
those that were prophets, those are one God used. Yep. He didn't use common folk.
He just rested on them. He never was indwelt. Yeah.
But look who he used, and he said, "I'm going to do you to become witnesses unto all the earth." But it's not like up until that point, the Holy Spirit was poured out into people for specific assignments. But it's so much more than just an assignment. Like, the Holy Spirit does not live in me for an assignment. The Holy Spirit lives in me because he's my helper, my comforter. He is forming Christ likeness in me. He is drawing me near. I have been made whole. I've been put to, I've been made a new creature. And I think that I really do believe we don't understand the significance of Jesus' victory on the cross.
Well, so this is what the Lord has been teaching me lately. You know, I mean, I personally am his garden that he is planting his seed in and producing fruit from. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we are the dust of the earth. You know, we're dirt, and he plants.
I'm the clay, and he is the potter. What are the potter?
Yeah. So we are his workmanship. That's where his glory shines, is in us. Whenever he overcomes our tongue that we talked about in James, whenever he overcomes our actions, our thoughts, whenever he overcomes in us, that gives him glory, because it's nothing that we've done. And it's what he's done in us. And we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony when we tell people what the Lord has done.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing, because we are, and I know we got to go break, but we are made in his image. And have you ever noticed how, you know, Ivy, our 2-year-old, she loves crafts. What little kid do you know that doesn't love crafts? Like, when they were doing the fireworks the other night, and I was inside with Ivy and Brett, because Brett kept saying, "Pastor, I don't like fireworks." That's what he kept saying. He'd run in my arms and jump in my arms. He's like, "I don't like them, Pastor. Pastor, I don't like them." And so me and Ivy and Brett went inside, and some of the other kids were in there too. But Brett and Ivy is sitting there with markers coloring a sheet. And I think it's so significant that even as children, they love to create.
Yep.
They love to craft. They love to color. And I think that's so significant because it's who the Father is, and we're made in His image. And it's something we resemble because we love to create things.
Yeah.
We love to craft things. We love to make things beautiful. Like, and that's Him.
Yeah.
And we are His craft, and He is the crafter. We are the clay, and He is the potter. And He's doing this extraordinary thing in us. And even Ephesians discussed this. We're being knitted and joined together. But really, that's because we're a masterpiece in the hands of the Father. Like, He's literally crafting us into a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. I'm going to have to listen to this little VBS song now that talks about all this, because everything y'all are saying goes along with this, and it's so catchy. So yeah. It's called His Masterpiece.
All right. His Masterpiece. There we go. All right, second question of the day, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. How many children were mocking Elisha, and as a result of this, they were cursed and eaten by a bear? Oh my gosh, that's a good one. How many children were mocking Elijah? Not the result was they was eaten by a bear, but how many children was there? Whew, that's a good one. 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this beautiful day, July 11, 2024. I do believe it's going to be a pretty day. I think it is. Is that correct? I think it's supposed to be pretty today. I haven't looked at the weather, but I just feel it in my gut. 87, low of 65, partly cloudy. It's going to be pretty for the next few days. No chance of, not much of a chance of rain until next week, but it is going to be hot this week. And moving into Monday, the high is 96, low of 73. Ooh. So, I'm sweating already. This is where my insulation comes in bad. Insulation works well for winter, but not so much for summer on me. I sweat a lot now. I used to remember when I was lighter, I'll say it like that. It's the nicest way I can talk about myself. When I was lighter, when I was playing golf, I didn't sweat that much. Now I'm having to carry like 3 golf gloves with me because I'm sweating so much. I'm sweating through my golf glove. But Greg, we haven't played for a while. I think it's about time to go back out and play.
That's about
maybe
normal,
not Monday.
Man. I may play, I don't know, 4 times in a whole year. Maybe.
Yeah.
I need to play more. I like to play, but I just Well, let me rephrase that. I like to tour golf courses with my clubs while chasing the ball.
You did just fine.
That's what I like to do.
I got to play recently, and I hadn't got to play for a little while because just so much going on. But yeah. Got to play recently and just hit the ball everywhere. I think I shot 75 for 18, but it was just I hit the ball everywhere. I was literally scrambling the whole time.
I like to tell everybody that my best game I shot a 69.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I shot a 69 as my best game, and it was on a 9 hole.
Well, mine was 18.
But I always say that, save that 9 hole part for
the last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that 69 is good on 18 holes.
Yeah.
69 is not good on a 9 hole.
You know, golf's one of those sports, though. Like, the last 2 rounds I played, like, when I look back, the round before that I shot 72, shot even par. And I could have very well shot 67 or 66. And then the round recently, I shot 75. If I could have just got the ball in play. Like, I'm talking, I had to chip out from the trees. I was having to hit hooks around them. I was having to hit through trees. It was,
oh, wow.
And I still shot 3 over, but it was a grind the whole day. And but it is like, I think that's kind of like, the thing I love about it, it's kind of like life in a lot of areas. Like, if everything just goes smooth, it's fine. But sometimes you have to submit to the Holy Spirit. You have to say, all right, Lord, I got this tree in front of me. What shot do you want me to hit?
Yeah.
Because I know, like, for me.
And then I got to ask Him, hey, now I'm going to swing this, and you make it go where it goes because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I play.
That would be me.
Play with somebody that I played with for many years, and we have played a lot of golf together. So he knows my game very well. And I can tell a difference. Now, this is spiritual. I am actually going to bring something spiritual into this. This is not an Easter egg thing, like a Reese's egg thing. All right, this is real. If I'm playing without him, I get myself into more trouble because he so knows my game. He can say, like, hey, I know this doesn't feel like a shot you should hit, but you should hit this shot. And he's able to.
It's like a caddy.
He is.
Knows you.
Like,
yeah.
And I mean, he's a much better golfer than me, but, but it's like, he's able to direct me.
Yeah.
And when I'm out there just with my kids or out with somebody else, I get myself into more trouble because I don't have that voice in my ear and I'm not listening. And that's literally us. Like, so often we try to go play this life without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to there, and he's not just caddying for us. He's literally, he'll take the club and swing it for us if we'll let him. But it's like, you know, he's there with us, and he's there to help us. And I know maybe there's somebody listening this morning, and you have this tree in front of you, and you keep trying to hit the ball through it, and you keep hitting the tree, and the ball keeps falling down. Quit doing it yourself. Like, this is the beauty, and this is what we've been talking about all morning. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. Like, he is the helper. He is the comforter. He is the one that's going to – you don't have to do this walk yourself. Like, you know, we talk a lot about shutting the doors. You know, like, don't let doors be open in your life. Like, you know, don't watch those movies. Don't go that place. And we think, well, we just have to do this, and we have to try harder. A lot of times it's not trying harder. Most of the time it's surrendering more. All right, Lord. I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to hear what you're saying. I'm going to obey what you're guiding. I'm going to heed to your discernment. Like, it's not about rolling your sleeves up. And I've even said this kind of stuff, and I almost have to repent for it. Like, Greg don't need to roll his sleeves up and try harder. Our mission is to surrender more. That's kind of like laying myself down as a living sacrifice. And so, I know I want to hit this golf shot because at the end of the day, it's going to make me look good. But I know hitting this golf shot will make me score good. And I think eventually in life, we're going to have to ask this question. Is it about looking good, or is it about having the results that the Holy Spirit's trying to get in us?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are real. And it's like we were talking earlier, the Lord will speak to us through a lot of situations. And I was noticing that more, how, like, you know, it's when the Holy Spirit knows you so well, and he knows where he knows where your golf ball needs to end up. And if we'll listen to him and we'll obey him, we'll get our self positioned just right. But the moment we try to hit this thing outside of him, the moment that, like, you take any professional golfer and you take their caddy away, they won't be good. And, like, you take the caddy away that knows them, they won't score as well when they play with the caddy who does know them. And there's no one greater to lead us and direct us and guide us and tell us, hey, there's a tree in front of you, and you've got to hit it around this tree. Here's how you do it. And that's the wisdom. And so that's my kingdom corner for the day.
I like where that went. That went a whole lot. That's good, Aaron. That's good.
But don't let Greg lie to you. He's not that bad.
Not that good either. So, both ways.
Well, you just don't play a lot.
Exactly.
So, for how much you play, I think you do just fine.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Yeah. Have a good time.
And when you hit Jeremy Paul's putt in for him, that was great. Greg gets up there so confidently, and Jeremy's putting for birdie that day, that hole, and Greg just knocks it right in the center. And me and Jeremy look at each other, and we're like, I guess you can have your birdie.
Well, for whatever reason, I mean, I was on a green too. I thought that was mine. Whatever.
It looked nicer.
There's a whole lot. His was like, in a lot better place than mine was.
I was like,
I'll just take this one. It's a lot easier shot. Yeah.
I'm going to hit this putt right now.
Yeah. Hey, watch this. I'm going to knock this one in here. Buddy, I did. Oh, man, that's fun.
I love it. Again, if you got kiddos, VBS is going to happen still tonight at Kingdom First there in Kennyville, Kentucky. Starts at 6 o'clock. Again, your date's over at Clarkson Community, July 17th, I think it was, right, Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
Through the 20th.
20th is that, like, last commencement day.
Yeah.
And then ours is right, I think Liberations is the all day on that Saturday, the 20th, and then ours starts the 23rd. So I know this time of the year, it's gearing up quite a bit. Gary Cox says, I couldn't hit a golf club. I couldn't hit a tennis ball with a golf club. You could too. I will say this, golf's the hardest sport there is, hands down.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's a lot of just discipline in yourself, you know, discipline yourself to make that swing the same every time and allow the club to do what the club is supposed to do. You know, that's my problem. I try to, if the pin's farther away, I try to hit it harder, and I can't control where it goes when I try to hit it hard. You know, mm-hmm. if I just focus on my swing and just, you know, without giving any kind of power and just swing and just focus on the whatever, it seems like it does better, but it doesn't go like I want. It doesn't go as far as I want it to go, because whenever I swing a club, I'm a guy, so it needs to go farther than anybody else ever in the history. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm a guy. That's the way guys are wired.
A little pride in there, you know.
Yeah.
So I know.
But
all right, anyway, well.
What kind of Bible questions we got?
Well, there was one thing I was going to bring up, like a news thing real fast. There is some things happening in the news, and I always try to keep a surprise to those, the big things. Again, we talked about Louisiana and the Ten Commandments, you know, like, schools have to post them now.
Good.
And so I love that. I think it's Oklahoma too. Oklahoma did something where the Bible is going to be a textbook in the schools again.
Well, it ought to be.
Yeah. So I see some victories there.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to say, I love these victories. I love these victories. I do want to make sure that we never get to the point to where we legislate Christianity. Like, that didn't go well for the Catholic Church during Constantine era or all throughout history. What we're doing is we're planting seeds.
Well, my thing is, you know, what they're doing is they try to outlaw Chris. You know, you can't
absolutely.
Have this, you can't have this. And we're saying, yeah, put that in there. If you don't want it, then pick another curriculum.
Well,
but make it available.
Well, what the enemy's done is he's trying to destroy the Judeo-Christian values that we were founded upon.
Yep.
And like, you know, just reading the Ten Commandments in the wall won't make you born again.
Yeah.
But it gives you a moral foundation of how a society that flourishes operates. It's like Israel was not actually born again, but Israel had the instruction for the Lord how to have a prosperous nation, how to have a moral nation, how to have a right nation. And I think that's the significance behind it. Like, you know, just making the Bible a textbook in the school again doesn't make every student who reads it born again.
Nope.
But it does point them towards Christ. It will give them the scripture. And I mean, of course, in a government should never say everybody must be Christians, because that happens a lot, like in Africa and stuff. Like, you go to Africa, it's like they're either Muslim or Christian. That's not going to work either. But what it does, and I'm so thankful for, is it sets a moral foundation for our nation. And it takes a because you can see there's two of the things that influenced our nation the most is when we took prayer and we took the Ten Commandments out of the school and fatherlessness. Those are probably two of the most influential things on our society.
You think about it. You just said it right there, significance. They remove the father from the children, and then they remove the fathers of the children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the enemy's done, you know, and that's what's took place, fatherless. So not only do we have children growing up not knowing who their daddy is, we have children growing up not knowing who the father is, which is our Father in heaven, you know. So it's all the way around just wrong, you know, against God's word, you know.
Yeah.
Which is both of their coverings that are removed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. both covering. I mean, they've lost all covering, and they're just out.
Yeah. Yep.
No covering, just completely just subject to whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have a society that doesn't have a covering, that doesn't have a protection, that doesn't have fathers raising them up, then somebody steps in there or somebody does something and let's just be real. A lot of times, especially in the inner cities and stuff, gangs step in there.
Yep. Well, everything. Depression steps in, takes the place.
Yeah,
addiction takes place, you know, just you name it, takes
but
the place.
So
you know?
Often these little 10, 12, 11, 13-year-old kids, they will be looking for affirmation somewhere.
Yep.
And a gang leader comes in there and affirms them somehow and says, you know, makes them feel wanted.
Yep.
Because there's no father in the house affirming, and there is no parental, you know, because the father's gone, so the mom is having to be a single mom most of the time, working 2 to 3 jobs.
Yep.
And the older sibling is babysitting them, and sibling is
if
there.
If you even get that.
And yeah. And that kid ends up wandering the streets at 10, 11, 12 years old, and they're lonely, and they're looking for affirmation, and it's not the mom's fault. The mom's been dealt a really hard card.
Yep.
And she's trying to provide and make sure food's on that table to eat. And so often affirmation comes in there, and that's what the enemy wants to do. I mean, how many times in our life do we know that somebody has departed from the faith or lived in a backslidden state because they got into a hard situation, isolated themselves, and the enemy come in there and whispered some affirmation in their yep. ear, or the wrong person came in and gave them affirmation. And this is why it's so important for the church to not, like, him who has been overtaken by a trespass, or him who is overtaken by sin, him who is spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness. We still got to be in their father, and we still got to be in their mentoring. We still got to be in there, and that's why Titus talks about it. Older men and younger men, older women and younger women, because it's so important to have that covering, as Hannah was saying, having that parental thing, having that mentoring type affirmation. And we as the body of Christ have a great mission. And this is why I've encouraged our church so often, find somebody younger and take them out to lunch. Now, it should be older females and younger females, and older males and younger men, but or in a family setting. But, like, you know, take them out to lunch. If you're 55 and you know there's a young man that's 25 that just got married, and you've been married for 35 or 40 years, and your marriage is productive and healthy and vibrant, and you can say, hey, I can take this young man out, and we can. Because I guarantee you this, if you're a 25-year-old male who just got married in the last year, there's still questions you have.
It's called discipleship.
You hit it, Greg.
You know, we're called to disciple, regardless of whatever the situation is. You know, you tell somebody about what you've been through. Tell somebody how the Lord has delivered you. And you know, and it may not resonate with this one, but somebody, you know, it's going to resonate with. It's going to speak to them. It's going to make them able to overcome. It's going to make them see Jesus, you know, see the truth, you know, in their situation. You know, it all comes down to being the light. We are to be the light. We need to disciple and just tell what the Lord has done. Spread the good news, the gospel, the good news of what the Lord has done.
Yeah. And any older person out there that wants to take me to lunch, you can disciple me all day you want.
I really like Texas Roadhouse. It's very good. I mean, if anybody
Greg said it,
there,
not me. All right, no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But it is important. And I mean, yeah. Even for my life right now, like, you know, there is, you know, there it's so important to have people that I know is going to have my back.
Yeah.
And I know it's so important to have people in our lives that we can go to and say, oh, this ain't looking good. What? Help me. Help me. And yeah. I know the Holy Spirit's, I mean, like, we've talked all morning about the Holy Spirit being a helper, but he does position people in our life.
Yeah.
Because Proverbs, I think it says, there's, you know, there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And so.
Well, we are the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, you know? So we are the mouthpiece. We are the light of the world, the salt of the world. The light. So we need to speak. We need to show. You know, we need to preserve
absolutely
this world. And how do we do that? By following him and sharing what he's given us. You know, whatever he gives us, give. You know, whatever it is that the Lord has given you, give to others.
Absolutely.
It's not just for you. It's to give to others, you know. And the more you give, the more you receive, right? That's what it says. So whatever it is, if he gives you a revelation, give it to somebody. If he gives you a victory, well, then share that victory. Tell somebody what, you know, this thing that the Lord has overcome in you, you know, and just whatever it is that he pours into you, pour out to others.
And I'd even take it a step farther. If he's given you a talent or a trade or something,
just
like
whatever,
share it with somebody. Like, if you're gifted to being able to do something and somebody else wants to, you know, has that same desire, like, all right, like, here's how you change the starter in a car. Like, here's how, like, Jeremy Paul's a phenomenal plumber. Like,
yeah.
You know, you have these apprentices in your life, but they become more than that at some point.
Like, I mean, just like, you know, that putt. I was trying to give that to Jeremy that day.
You were trying to give him the line. You were trying to help him.
You're trying to give something to him that was already his.
Well, he was just trying to show him how to hit the putt. Because Greg did hit the putt, so he's like, let me give you this line for your birdie.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Jeremy. I really am.
My favorite part was how many times Greg apologized.
Oh, man, I had no idea.
I thought he was going to go on his knees and just beg him for forgiveness on the next tee box.
Because, you know, that's something that, you know, because we're not good. Aaron's good, you know what I'm saying? And me and Jeremy, the rest of them, we're not good. We have a good time. So whenever Jeremy's having, like, that right there, you know, you don't want to rob that from me. I mean, because that's what we've been working forever to get there, you know. And then here I come in there and just whack it. And just totally just wreck it. I felt awful. I did. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
But you know, like, and it's like, I really didn't, up until I worked at the golf course.
Yeah.
I would have no idea to change oil. But how much time is, and I mean, like, we may think that's not much, but all this becomes very significant. And what this does is it opens up time just to spend with each other. Because, you know, one thing I make, I don't try to cake it up or anything. Me and my dad did not have a very good relationship. Yeah. And my dad never spent a lot of time with me like that. But other people did. Yeah. And it was so significant. My grandpa, for once, stepped in there and really did it. But, you know, there was a story one time of a little boy who I get my story started, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So this dad was going to go to work one day. Nothing was working right. And so, like, it was one of those mornings, like, for instance, your truck breaks down and something didn't start at work.
It's like a Monday.
You can't find, like, it's a Monday. pastors call it bread truck Monday. Yeah. And so, like, you know, it's just one of those days. And he finally just said, I'm going to go home. He kind of worked for himself, so he's able to go home, and I'll start again tomorrow. I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to take my kids fishing because it's such a bad day. It's a waste. And so he goes home, grabs his kid. They go fishing. And then later on, he's looking at this sheet of paper that was on this kid's dresser or desk or something, like, he's reading. And the kid had wrote, for the dad, it was a horrible day. For the kid, he said, oh, this was the best day. My dad took off work to take me fishing.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes we just forget how significant that is. And I've shared that before on Sunday mornings, but it's like, sometimes, like, what we think is insignificant may be the most significant thing we could ever do. And I say this a lot. Me and Joe Taylor was talking about this the other day at church. The most spiritual thing that I could ever do in my life outside of loving the Lord God with all my heart, mind, and soul is being a godly husband and a godly father. Mm-hmm. Before being a pastor is not the most spiritual thing I can do. It's literally being a father and being a husband. That's the most spiritual thing. And so, this time we get our priorities right in the house of the Lord, because we won't have strong churches if we don't have strong families, and we will have no future church if we don't have godly children.
And I want to share this too. You know, I be real with your kids. You know, if you're out there and you're raising kids, and you know, don't hide things from them. You know, so, like, you know, unfortunately, my boy has me for a dad. That's a joke, not unfortunate. But like when we're in the garage, you know, I'm that's another area that the Lord is working on me with patience. Like whenever I'm working on something, I go in there and I get after it, you know, and I expect everybody in that garage to be in there knowing what I know. So I tell my son, you know, I say, listen, you know that I'm impatient. You know that I get antsy, you know, and I'm just going to tell you right now, don't take it personal. Just roll with it and just know that the Lord is working on your dad because, and I try to be real with him, you know, to know that's not the way you need to be. You don't need to be the way that I am in certain times, you know, But, you know, it takes the Lord to fix us because, you know, if I could turn it off, I would, you know, and I tell him this. And that way people can realize that, hey, I can go to the Lord with these things. I can go to the Lord and tell him that I need work here, you know, that you know, I need help. I can't do this on my own, you know. So that's one thing, for me, is to be real with your kids, you know, and tell them what your faults are, you know, and your struggles. Now, you know, at the age that they are capable, you know, like a two-year-old's probably not going to understand, you know. but you know, just be real and don't share. Just always share what the Lord is doing in you. If you have trouble, if you're struggling with anger and this and that, and your kid in front of your kids especially, explain it to them. Hey, I don't want to be like this. You know, the Lord's working on me, and you know, and He's, you know, just be real. Always be truthful.
I agree. I think even saying like, you know, your dad or your mom, whoever's talking to him, mm-hmm. I've just had a really bad day, but it's not your fault. Because I think a lot of kids, they assume that things are their fault whenever their parents are frustrated or upset. And I don't know why. It's probably a lie from the enemy that tries to speak mm-hmm. to kids. But I know that's a common thing. So I think just explaining that, you know, I'm having a bad day, but I love you. You know, those affirmations that Aaron was talking
kids
about
need
really
that.
Are important. Yep. Really important to kids. So.
Yeah, and don't, you know, and if they make a mistake, teach them. Don't condemn them for making a mistake. You know, let them learn. That's what a mistake is. It's a valuable thing. You know, it's a learning process, you know. And, I don't ever condemn them for making mistakes, but I try to make them think, you know, so that they don't do it more than once.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We did get an answer for that. I don't know if I said it or not. Miss Lisa Ashball did get an answer for that last trivia question. How many children were mocking Elisha? As a result of this, they were cursing, eating my bear. It was 42.
42. Man, Second that's a lot of 20. Kids. That bear was full. She was ready for hibernation.
Yeah, that bear had
a she-bear, wasn't it?
Ate enough for the year.
She's going to sleep.
I guess it depends on how big the kids were. Well,
42, even little kids, that's a lot for a bear.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a polar bear.
It says she bear.
Polar bear versus shark. Polar bear. All right.
Never. because the polar bear is going to stand in the water.
Oh.
All right.
Greg.
And once that shark gets a hold of that leg's gone.
Oh, just like.
And if you ain't got a leg to stand on, how you going to defend yourself? Then you're going to fall. Then you're going to take. Yeah, there ain't no way.
Just like your eschatology, if you want to be wrong, you're welcome to be wrong.
Oh, I thought you were saying falling or something. Crumbling
people,
down.
People probably don't get our inside joke all the time. They probably just think we're rude to each other. But. Oh, well. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We got just about 20 minutes left of this morning. If you got a Bible question or you got something else you want us to discuss, 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337. If you got a song you want to request for the 11 o'clock hour, I'd love to get that out there for you. Brother Gary still, he's talking about the polar bear.
He agrees with me.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm a winner. All right.
You're both going to get eaten up by a shark.
Not if we're not. Well, we'll just see.
Have you ever seen a shark move in the water?
Yeah, but have you ever seen a polar bear attack?
Yeah. But the polar bear's in the water.
Yeah, but
he can't be outside of the water.
But with the shark, if you're a scuba diver, you can take your hand and just push the shark away.
Not if the shark is wanting to eat you.
Yeah, even if the shark's wanting to eat you.
No.
Yeah, it.
No.
A shark is very much deterred.
Hold on a second. That's because he's curious. He's not because he's wanting to eat you. Because when they attack, I mean, they are. Have you ever seen how fast they are? It's
not faster than Hannah.
Well.
She's like grease lightning.
Well, hey. You know what I'm saying? I seen her play
volleyball one time.
Yeah.
And she just went from one side of the court like the Flash.
But I'm telling you.
Dark matter
they,
had hit her.
Like, all if right. they're hunting, they, you know, like, they, yeah, there ain't no way.
Yeah. But sharks don't eat polar bears.
Exactly.
Because polar bears eat sharks.
No.
All right.
No, but a polar bear is a fish. If the fish was out of water, yeah, I'd go with the polar bear.
Yeah.
But you put the polar bear in the water with the fish, yeah.
Yeah.
Shark gonna eat him. Ain't gonna happen.
All right. Well, we'll pray for Greg.
Let's pray for a Bible question. What we got? All
right. I do have one.
All right.
There was one that's been, there's a question asked. If God is referred to as Father, does that make him a male? Is God the Father a male? Does he have a gender?
There is no male or female. He already said that. There's no Jew, no male, no female, no Jew, no Greek.
I think this is interesting for me. I think there is male and female in heaven. I think in Galatians, I think that's referring to he is not biased to any other.
Okay.
With salvation, because that's how I see that. And I could be wrong.
Well, it says we'll be known as we're known.
Yeah.
And Hannah, I'm pretty sure, is a female. Yeah. When I see her in heaven, I'm going to know that's Hannah.
I think there will be a female. Yeah. But
I'm
with
you on that.
I don't know, but I don't think there's reproduction in heaven. So, yeah. But I do think, in Galatians 3, he's saying when it's pertaining to salvation, there's neither Greek or Jew, male or female.
Well, we know for sure it says that we won't be in marriage.
Yeah, so we won't be given a marriage.
There wouldn't be any reproduction.
Yeah,
but I believe that he's a male because it says his father.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word is his word.
Yeah.
And, father, and he created Adam. And then from Adam, he created Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, but Adam,
I don't know. We know Jesus was a male.
Yeah. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So there you go. That answers
the question. But I'm not for sure. God is spirit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if God the Father, I don't know if he has a form per se. I've always curious.
His form is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I get that. But I think this is where the Trinity has to be unpacked more. And I've always I still try to figure this out theologically, just how this kind of plays out. I've not hid my thoughts on the shack, just like I haven't hid my thoughts on the Passion. I'm very leery of the shack, which, it postulates.
It's just a movie.
Well, it's a book, then movie. But
yeah, either way, whatever. It's just.
I always read the books. The movies just never. I always like to try to read the books because I feel like it's a little bit more, it encapsulates what the authors really want to say more.
Yeah.
I feel like movies have to readjust.
I don't know.
So I wanted to be fair to the author, and I read the book. I didn't get through the book. But it's like God the Father was, in the book, God the Father was an older African-American lady. Jesus the Son was a middle-aged.
Hippie-looking dude.
Jewish carpenter. I think he was.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit was a transparent Asian woman.
Yeah.
That was a little bit different. But I do think
there was a part in there where whenever God had to get right with him in this, that he come as a male figure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
the father? Yeah. Well, I didn't get that far probably.
Whenever he made it, he said, now we're going to have to go back and revisit. And then he talked, and it was actually the guy. Yeah, it was.
But I don't. I don't think it's a good Trinity explanation. I feel like there was too much hierarchy in it. It was too much separation. There was too much when the Son was on the earth, he was completely in some the Father was instructing, the Father was leading, the Father was doing all this because he had laid down his divinity. So he was he walked the earth as man filled with the Holy Spirit to show us the way, to lead the way for us. But I don't think in heaven, whenever he resurrected, he's at the right hand of the Father, all right, Dad, what now? He is the Dad.
Okay.
And the Dad is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all in one. So
I explain it to my kids as water. Water represents the Father because ice represents the Son, and steam represents the Holy Spirit. Without water, none of them exist. So I represent water representation of God. And then the rock that which we stand on, that is the ice, that is Jesus Christ, the firm foundation. That's the, you know, that's a representation of the sun. And then steam represents Holy Spirit has the power. You know, I have the power of steam, and then also it cleans us, the cleaning power of steam. So not only do we have power that drives engines and different things and yeah. boilers and all this, but we also have the cleaning power of steam, how it will clean. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So that is three different versions of the very same thing. And that's how I explained it for the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And I know what you're going to say. It's affected by their surroundings, right?
No, actually, you probably wouldn't guess what I'm going to say.
Well, that's what you said last time we talked.
Well,
about
I think they're. I think the surroundings doesn't change them, but I think all analogies that we use, whether you use the water,
yeah.
the egg,
I don't know
whatever you
egg.
Want to, like, yeah. there's a lot of different analogies we use for the Holy Spirit to give us insight.
Yeah.
The one thing they all fall short of is that I can definitely, like, I understand the steam and the ice and the water, just like I understand the egg, the yolk, the inside, the shell, all these kind of things. Like, people use the egg, too. It's still one egg.
No, but egg's all different.
Well,
water is all the same.
But I think, too, though, like, this is because you can't be ice, steam, and water at the same time. They're going to have to choose which one. I think that's where all human analogy falls short.
Hold on. But yes, it is all H2O. It is never not H2O.
Yeah, but it's the same.
Ice is still H2O.
If I take a glass of water,
yep.
all right, so if I take that glass of water
yep.
and I fill it with glass, that glass of water, I'm talking about that glass mm-hmm. of water, cannot be steam, ice, and water at the same time.
It is.
Like just liquefied. But it can't be all three at the same time.
But what I'm telling you is, They're not different. It's all H2O. There is nothing different about all three of those. They're all the same.
Well, I get that, but like I'm talking like, but if we're gonna say manifestations, because that's what the common phrase used is they can't be all three at the exact same time. But the Father is all three at the exact same time.
But that's my point right there, because they are. They H2O never changes in either three of those. That it's still water. Water's water. Ice is water,
like,
and steam is water.
No, I understand
they're
what you're saying there.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
No, I understand that completely. But
you're saying more like locationally.
That glass of water.
Yeah.
Like let's maybe talk about not the water anymore, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are you saying they can be all in the same place at one time?
They are.
Like, you know, but I mean,
that's
like,
what you're saying.
Yeah, because I don't think that, like,
because they are the Father, they all
but
are
you,
God.
You can see the distinction because you're only going to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess I can kind of see what both of you are saying
yeah.
because if we're only seeing Jesus, it doesn't mean that ice doesn't exist and steam doesn't exist.
Yep.
Or if we're seeing ice, it doesn't mean that the others don't exist. We're just only seeing one of them at that
yeah.
time.
Well,
but so do you think that we can see or might be able to see all of them at the same time?
Hold on. Let me go a little farther. You see all of them always. When you see, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you have seen what? You've seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we see the Holy Spirit by, you know, through his works like the wind. You know, we can't physically see but through our spiritual eyes, we see the work of the Holy Spirit. So we never not see God. Every time we look, we see the Father. When we see God in heaven, when we see Jesus Christ on the walk, you know, the Word made flesh coming to dwell among us, and when we see the Scripture, the Word, you know, when we feel it, that's all our Father. It's never not our Father. Mm-hmm. That's where we need to get to. Because he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's all these things. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's never not. See, what happens is we think, well, we see Jesus. Well, we only see Jesus. We don't see God. No, that's our Father in the flesh. Okay, and well, I feel the Holy Spirit. So, but where's God? Well, he is the Holy Spirit. He is all these things. He is all three. He's in all. He's of all.
Yeah. All right. Now, what was you?
I think the conversation has to be between whether we're talking about physical or spiritual.
Yeah.
Because when we get to heaven, we'll be spirit, not.
Yeah, I think this is the hard thing about this is like.
But at the same time, heaven or the earth is going to be renewed.
Well, I mean, like if you look at Jesus is on when Jesus was on the earth, Jesus was being baptized. The Father spoke, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. There was three in one right there, but all three was happening at the same time. They were in full manifestation at the same time. I don't like to use that word per se, but that's the word that's going to be used.
Yeah.
Like Jesse DePlantis one time had said he had a dream. God took him to heaven or something like that, I think, and said there was a big ball of gas in heaven, a ball of energy, I think is what he said. And at sometimes the Father would step out, sometimes the Son would step out, sometimes the Holy Spirit would step out. I just don't see that. Like, I don't think they're stepping out of some kind of ball of energy. I think they are all the Father. Here, O Israel, God is one God, yet there are three in one.
They're being expressed at the same time.
Yeah,
because Jesus was, they could physically see Jesus, they could physically hear God, and they could physically see.
Yeah, like that's kind of where I'm at. Like,
descended on a dove, like a dove.
Yeah.
So I think is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, like God is spirit.
We should be able to see all three, even if we're not seeing them as Jesus. Like they're not going to all look like the same as Jesus in the flesh, but they should all be able to. I mean, manifest is the best word I feel like that we have.
Well, the only reason I don't like about the only reason I'm hesitant, and a lot of your theologians are hesitant on the word manifestations, just because. Again, we're the annoying analytical people that realize the implications of the words that we do use. Manifestation means you can manifest at one thing at one time. That's what I was trying to get to with the water. Yeah. Like, that's where I like the analogy of water, steam, and ice. But the only way it falls is that if you have that one glass of water, that's God. That water can't be all three at the same time.
But see, that's the point I'm trying to make here with the water and with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the same. The Father is all of that.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And
but whether, that's what I'm trying to say is like that.
Whether you have the glass, the ice, the steam, it's all H2O.
That's why.
Every one of
but
those.
But that's what I'm trying to say. Like all human analogies fall short because the Trinity blows anything out of the water that we could humanly understand. Like I don't think we'll ever fully understand the Godhead here on the earth. And I don't know if we'll ever fully understand the Godhead, period, of how vast and infinite and great he really is.
I guess for me, maybe I'm just oversimplifying this, but when I see Jesus, I see the Father. When I see the Holy Spirit, I see the Father. The Father is all of those. It's not one part, two part, three part. He is all of those. And if you see one, you see them all. They're all one. That's
but
all.
But I would say there's three distinctive, like each part of the Trinity is doing something different.
I don't know what difference that would be.
Well, I mean, the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, is there in me to conform me into the image of the Son. The Son was there to, he's literally, I mean, he died for me. He's my intercessor. He's praying for me. He's this. And so, like...
So, let me go on with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's conforming to the image of his Son. What is his Son? The Word, right? So, he reveals his Word. He's in there. It's all the Father. You see what I'm trying... I'm trying to nail this down to where... So, I can get you to see that there's no difference when you see a glass of water, a block of ice, or steam.
No, I mean, I get that. Like, yeah. No,
there's,
I mean...
There's no difference. They're the same, but they are... They are carrying out different things.
Different
because
functions.
If that wasn't true, then Jesus couldn't have been in the water while the Lord was speaking and the Holy Spirit was descending.
And
the Comforter wouldn't have had to come. Like he said, I must go so the Comforter could come.
Yeah.
And it's all about the Father, which is in all three.
But we're not arguing that.
Yeah. Like, no, we agree. They're all the
no,
Father.
No, I mean, that's like way past there. What we're saying is that Jesus is in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in me. So, like, you know.
We don't understand the fullness of how it works, but we do know that they are in different places, but all still in unity.
Yeah.
Like, different places as far as the third heaven and the earth and... But they're all still. It's so hard to explain. It's just so
like,
hard to explain.
Honestly, I don't think I have a struggle when somebody comes. I'm just being honest with you. This is my yeah. transparency here.
Yeah.
I have a struggle when somebody says Jesus visited me in my bedroom. All right. Because I don't think Jesus is coming back until he splits the eastern sky. I think the Holy Spirit is in you and dwelling in you and revealing things to you. But I'm not for sure Jesus himself walked down.
Well, so
Jesus is seated right now until he gets back up and comes back.
Well, Jesus is the Word made flesh that come and dwelt among us, right? He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
And nothing was made that was made. I can't remember how that goes. I always mess it up. But so Jesus, his physical body, what you're talking about, see there. But like these words right here, I see this as Jesus, you know, because he is the Word. So the Word, you know, that the Holy Spirit reveals in me is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God's Word. You know, it's his correction to us. Through grace, you're saved by faith. So grace meaning correction. Without his correction, where would we be? You know, and we have to believe him. We have to hear him to believe him to be corrected by him.
Yeah. But I think we're in different areas. Like for me, I think the person of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm.
The physical person.
Is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, yeah.
Is seated at the right hand. Because he said, if I stay with you,
yeah,
it's going to be better if I send the Comforter.
Yeah.
Because now he's not walking with us. He's walking inside of us. And he's doing that through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think this is where the Trinity is more vast. And I don't know. Like, for me, I've tried to process this for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's far from simple to me.
Yeah.
Because I think the bigness of who God is should be so awe-striking that we probably fully never comprehend the riches of his glory and the riches of his character and the riches of who he is. And I'm not saying I'm not polytheistic. I'm not worshiping three gods. Hear, O Israel, our God is one God. Yet there are three distinctively different. And even like, you know, even in creation, what the Father was doing, he was speaking.
Words was Jesus.
Well, I mean.
Because he is the Word.
I would have to unpack that a little bit more. Yeah.
Did it say the Spirit was hovering?
The Spirit
was
hovering.
Spirit moved over
all things were made by him, through him, and for him, is what Colossians tells us.
Yeah.
And then most of us believe that it was Jesus walking
the garden. It was kind of like C.S. Lewis, I think, did it very cool whenever he did Absalom with the lion. Have you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? So in the first Chronicle of Narnia book, basically the lion's walking throughout the earth, roaring, creating. And it's a representation of Jesus creating things. So Jesus had always been. And, but back to the original question, because we're about time, like, God is Spirit. And that God is referred to as Father, but he's also, I think, referred to as Mother in the Old Testament as well. I think maybe Job refers to him as Mother. I have to check that. But I think there was one or two times a reference as Mother. I don't know, I don't know if I want to give God the Father gender identity. The Son I'm comfortable with because he was a male on the earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I would say that
is because the Father.
But because as you said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
As of what Jesus said. So, and, you know, it's not for me, I'm with you. He's Spirit. God is Spirit. We worship in Spirit and in truth. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think what Jesus did is he revealed the nature of who God is in the earth.
Yeah.
The divine expression of his deity.
I think the reason it's so difficult is because he does stand alone. He's outside of our own structures, even that he created for us. We're made in his likeness, but we are not made equal to him.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's so hard, because he is outside of all of the things that we know. So I don't really know how I feel about putting a label on him either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's kind of how I am. Like, cause the fact that God is omniscient is like, even in our DNA, there's this, and I know we got to go, we're over time, but even in our DNA, there's like this little cross shaped glue that's in our DNA that literally holds us together. Like to me, it's just significant. Like, God's in all things.
Yeah.
He is all things. He is the essence of all things. Like, God
and
is
we
love.
We definitely agree with, like, Greg was saying that.
Sure.
We all agree that he's in everything, and mm-hmm. everything that is yeah. from him is in him.
Yeah.
And I guess what I was trying to say is, whenever I, like, the glass and the ice and all that, you know, I don't see it any different. I see the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit all the same.
Sure.
I don't see three different things there. You know, I see all of them, the Father, and what the Father's doing could be different. You know, but I mean, I see them all as the Father.
I see them all as Hero Israel, God is one God. I see him as one yep. God, but I do think there's three distinctive differences. I think they're doing different things. Because they're doing such different things that Jesus himself said, I must go so I can
mm-hmm.
send.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not distinctively doing different things, why couldn't Jesus just stay?
Because mm-hmm. he's a lamb slain. That's part of the deal. You know, it's he says,
But he must go and sit at the... We got to go. I know yeah. we're over time, yeah, yeah. but we'll have to finish this
Maybe
conversation.
Maybe we can pick it back up tomorrow. See yeah. what Rick and Denny think.
Ricky and Denny. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.